Pravartate yatra rajastamastayo Satvam chamishram na chakala vikramaha Na yatra maya kimutapade hare Anuvrata yatra surasurarchita
In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time, so what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The kingdom of God, or the atmosphere of the Vaikuntha nature, which is called Tripad Vibhuti, is three times bigger than the material universes and is described here, as also in the Bhagavad Gita, in a nutshell. This universe containing billions of stars and planets is one of the billions of such universes clustered together within the compass of the Mahat Tattva. And all of these millions and billions of universes combined together constitute only 1/4 of the magnitude of the whole creation of the Lord. There is the spiritual sky also. Beyond the sky are the spiritual planets under the names of Vaikuntha, and all of them constitute 3/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. God's creations are always innumerable. When the leaves of a tree cannot be counted by a man, even the leaves of a tree cannot be counted by a man, nor can the hairs on his head. However, foolish men are puffed up with the idea of becoming God himself, though unable to create a hair of their own bodies. Man may discover so many wonderful vehicles of journey, but even if he reaches the moon by his much advertised spacecraft, he cannot remain there. The sane man, therefore, without being puffed up as if he were the god of the universe, abides in the instructions of the Vedic literature, the easiest way to acquire knowledge in transcendence. So let us know through the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam of the nature and constitution of the transcendental world beyond the material sky. In that sky, the material qualities, especially the modes of ignorance and passion, are completely absent. The mode of ignorance influences a living entity to the habit of lust and hankering, and this means that in the Vaikuntha lokas, the living entities are free from these two things. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, in the Brahma Bhuta stage of life, one becomes free from hankering and lamentation. Therefore, the conclusion is that the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets are all Brahma-bhuta living entities, as distinguished from the mundane creatures who are all compact in hankering and lamentation. When one is not in the modes of ignorance and passion, one is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness in the material world. Goodness is the goodness in the material world also at times becomes contaminated by touches of the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Vaikuntha loka, it is unalloyed goodness only. The whole situation there is one of freedom from the illusory manifestation of the external energy. Although illusory energy is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Illusory energy is differentiated from the Lord. The illusory energy is not, however, false, as claimed by the monist philosophers. The rope accepted as a snake may be an illusion to a particular person, but the rope is a fact, and the snake is also a fact. The illusion of water on the hot desert may be illusion for the ignorant animal searching for water in the desert, but the desert and water are actual facts. Therefore, the material creation of the Lord may be an illusion to the non-devotee, but to a devotee, even the material creation of the Lord is a fact, as the manifestation of his external energy. But this energy of the Lord is not all. The Lord has his internal energy also, which is another creation known to be the Vaikuntha Lokas, where there is no ignorance, no passion, no illusion, and no past and present. With a poor fund of knowledge, one may be able to understand the existence of such things as the Vaikuntha atmosphere, but that does not nullify its existence. That spacecraft cannot reach these planets does not mean that there are no such planets, for they are described in the revealed scriptures. As quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, we can know from the Narada Pancharatra that the transcendental world or Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with transcendental qualities. These transcendental qualities, as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord, are distinct from the mundane qualities of ignorance, passion, and goodness. Such qualities are not attainable by the non-devotee class of men. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, it is stated that beyond the one-fourth part of God's creation is the three-fourths manifestation. The marginal line between the material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation is the Viraja river. And beyond the Viraja, which is a transcendental current flowing from the perspiration of the body of the Lord, there is the three-fourths manifestation of God's creation. That part is eternal, everlasting, without deterioration, and unlimited. It contains the highest perfectional stage of living entities, of living conditions. In the Sankhya Kaumudi, it is stated that unalloyed goodness or transcendence is just opposite to the material modes. All living entities there are eternally associated without any break, and the Lord is the chief and prime entity. In the Agama Puranas also, the transcendental abode is described as follows. The associated members there are free to go everywhere within the creation of the Lord, and there is no limit to such creation, particularly in the region of the three-fourths magnitude. Since the nature of that region is unlimited, there is no history of such association, nor is there end of it. The conclusion may be drawn that because of the complete absence of the mundane qualities of ignorance and passion, there is no question of creation nor annihilation. And the duration of life between the creation and annihilation is in the material world, everything is created and everything is annihilated. And the duration of life between creation and annihilation is temporary. In the transcendental realm, there is no question of creation and no destruction. And thus the duration of life is eternal unlimitedly. In other words, everything in the transcendental world is everlasting, full of knowledge and bliss without deterioration. Since there is no deterioration, there is no past, present, and future in the estimation of time. It is clearly stated in this verse that the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence. The whole material existence is manifested by actions and reactions of elements which make the influence of time prominent in the matter of past, present, and future. There are no such actions and reactions of cause and effects there. So the cycle of birth, growth, existence, transformations, deterioration, and annihilation, the six material changes, are not existent there. It is the unalloyed manifestation of the energy of the Lord, without illusion as experienced here in the material world. The whole Vaikuntha existence proclaims that everyone there is a follower of the Lord. The Lord is the chief leader there, without any competition for leadership, and the people in general are all followers of the Lord. It is confirmed in the Vedas, therefore, that the Lord is the chief leader, and all other living entities are subordinate to him, for only the Lord satisfies all the needs of all other living entities. Srila Shukadev Goswami, in this chapter 9 of the second canto, is describing what had taken place at the very beginning of creation of this particular universe. Just last night, I was speaking with a very, very famous in the sense that he travels all over the world for many decades giving lectures on astrophysics. He was one of the chief scientists to put India's satellites in the sky and whatever. Very learned. And he's actually a very pious and religious man. But he was explaining some defects of the modern scientists. He was explaining how in the conception of creation is how there was a negative energy. And without a negative energy, there cannot be an activation to make it positive. It's so much word jugglery. In other words, it's not that something can be created out of nothing. Something had to be there to activate reality in its primordial stage. And how at the very beginning all this energy contracted into one point that is called singularity, and then somehow or other it exploded and manifested creation of so many different planets and so gradually so much life and so forth. But then he told me that this is basically the conclusion of the most high sophisticated scientists throughout history. This is the culmination of all of their knowledge. And he said they are all simply speculating because nobody knows. It is all just ideas. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we know exactly what happened at the very beginning of creation. It's being told to us right here. We don't have to read any of these speculative science research books and get your mind completely filled with negative energy and be singularly situated in ignorance of the self. It's better to just hear as Brahma, We find at the very beginning of creation, from the lotus flower that was sprouted from the navel of Sri Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma is born. Lord Brahma hears the two syllables tapa after he goes searching to try to find out what is his existence. Brahma was the original speculative scientist. He was, by the power of his own mind and the power of his own senses, he was trying to figure out where I'm coming from, who I am, where I am, what is the past, what is the present, what will happen in the future. He was searching, searching. He was going up and down the stem of the lotus, trying to figure out what is truth. But in the end, he was utterly bewildered. He was perplexed, confused, dazed. And then he heard the word of God, tapa. And by this process, he began to follow the principles of bhakti yoga. He began to worship the Supreme Lord. And through this process, the Supreme Lord manifested, before teaching Brahma what it is that he has to do as his duty, he revealed to him the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Because samashitaye patapalavaplabam, the goal of life in this world is Vaikuntha. The goal of life is not to try to find happiness in a place where there is danger at every step. We should not be fools trying to find happiness in a fool's paradise. This material world is called the fool's paradise. We're trying to make this world so wonderful by nice, comfortable motor vehicles and very, very luxurious aircrafts and spacecrafts and nice skyscraper buildings and building beautiful gardens and national forests and parks and all sorts of various inventions, computers and tape recorders and televisions and toasters and ovens and stoves and beautiful jewelry and wonderful garments to wear and all sorts of artwork in the museums. There's something for everyone in this fool's paradise. Everyone is trying to find happiness. Everyone is trying to find some meaning and purpose to life in some way or other. But the beginning of knowledge is to understand that it's all meaningless. Unless we understand what is actually the purpose of the creation. The Supreme Absolute Truth, he presented this whole creation with a purpose behind it. And the very beginning of creation, before anything was created by Brahma, the purpose of the creation was manifested to him by Kunta. Vaikuntha is the goal of life. Nate vadusvara tatim hi Vishnu. Why? Because Vaikuntha is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To know him and to love him is the only aim which has any reality. Every other goal in life we have is simply chasing after the mirages within this material illusory energy. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the desert there is the mirage, because everyone in the desert is looking for water, because the desert is very dry and very hot and people are very thirsty and their aim in life is water. When you're dying of thirst, you're not thinking about what's in the newspapers today or what's on television today or what the latest gossip is. When you're thirsty, you're thinking of water. And nothing else can satisfy your needs except water. It is a very, very powerful urge. I don't know if any of you have ever been starving of thirst in the desert. It's really an amazing experience. Some yogis, they actually go to the desert just to starve themselves of thirst to the verge of death, just so that they understand what it is. What is this? The power of thirst. It's unbelievable. So Srila Prabhupada explains that in this desert of material existence, human beings, they understand where the water really is, and they give their life for that. Samashitaye padapalabaplabam mahatpadam punya vishomurari. The real water is in the lotus feet of Murari, Krishna, in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, not in this world where there is padam padam yadvi padam natesham, danger at every step. But those who are not humans, those who are animals, they keep seeing these mirages, and they keep chasing after one mirage after another, birth after birth after birth. Some animals have four legs and some have two legs. Human society that is not seeking the pleasures of Vaikuntha is actually animal society, in the sense that people are behaving not according to the integrity of the gift of this rare human birth. Atato brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant for self-realization. Human life is meant to solve the problems of suffering. Human life is meant to promote oneself to Vaikuntha. But the animals in the desert, they see what appears to be water, and they chase after it. And all, whatever little energy is left in their life, they exhaust it all trying to find that mirage, that water. And then when they drink from that illusory appearance of water, what do they get? They get hot sand in their mouth. They think it's water. And that only increases their thirst. And then they realize, this didn't work. And then they see another mirage. And then they go chasing after that. And then it disappears. And then they see another one, and they chase after that. And they see another one. Maya will never, ever, ever stop showing mirages to the conditioned soul. They are unlimited. Some people, they preach the philosophy, let us just enjoy to our heart's content the satisfaction of the fruits, of the gifts of this beautiful world. And ultimately we'll get old and we'll get tired of it, and then we'll seek self-realization. But that doesn't happen like that. Because however old we may be, Srila Prabhupada was amazed when he was in France and he heard about 90-year-old men going to the discotheques and the nightclubs looking for young ladies to have pleasure with. Prabhupada said, what kind of pleasure could they have at 90 years old? But still, that physically they have no power to even enjoy. But that desire within their heart is just as strong as if they were 16. The only difference is they have a useless body that just can't act like a 16-year-old person. But the desire is still there. The desire does not go away. At the time of death, it still will not go away. And you cannot burn it out by overdose of material enjoyment. The only way to get rid of this burning fire of thirst for material existence is to stop chasing the unlimited mirages that Maya presents before you. All the different promises and prospects for pleasure and enjoyment that are everywhere, we have to realize it is not real. It has nothing to do with my soul. It will only aggravate my condition, diseased condition, and it will only waste my time. Yova etharakshadam gardiya varit lashma praiti shikripana. Miserly person who takes this human life and chases after the endless mirages and then dies without understanding Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. That is considered the greatest loss for a human being. To not go back to Godhead at the end of life is a great loss. He's lost the opportunity the human life affords. It is very sad. This is what makes devotees really sad. The materialistic philanthropists, they feel bad when they see someone materially poor, not enjoying fine foods, nice living conditions. It brings grief to people who are pious. And that is something resembling the mode of goodness. But for a devotee, what brings the greatest grief to his heart is to see people wasting this human life. Whether they're rich or poor makes very little difference. Whether they're eating fine foods or whether they're just eating some scraps is not the real problem in life. Let people have nice prasad. But the purpose of giving nice prasad is to give a person strength to do something good in life, to seek reality rather than seek illusion. This is the great, great tragedy that is all around us. Sometimes we read of some tragedy in the newspaper, that a bus drives off a mountain and falls and everyone dies. Or a train crashes into a buffalo and everyone dies. Even the buffalo. There are so many tragedies in this world. And we're very much affected by these tragedies, especially when someone we know is involved, someone we are close to. But in reality, everything around us is one big tragedy. Every human being who is wasting their time in sense gratification, that's a tragedy. Every person who is dying without realizing God and who has lost the opportunity to be a human being, that's a tragedy. Anytime anyone engages any sinful activity, that is a terrible tragedy. In the material world today, when parents see that their children are giving up sinful activities, they think that's a tragedy. What's wrong with little drinking, little smoking? It's all right, it's normal. It's the social norms of today. You don't want to be too extreme. Just like any preparation needs enough salt to make it palatable. So any lifestyle needs enough salt of sinful activities and sense gratification to make your lifestyle palatable. And when they see their children going on salt-free diet, no sense gratification, no sinful activities, they become very worried. They try to start immediately searching for some doctors to help them to come out of this illusion. This is the unfortunate condition, that people are forgetful of what we have been put in this world for. So Lord Brahma saw Vaikuntha, and he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who came before him and shook his hands and told him the four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, from which all knowledge has expanded from. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was so very, very strong in his preaching that we must have faith in the revealed scriptures. We should never put our faith in the speculative processes of materialistic people. Vaikuntha Loka is here explained. What is the transcendental nature in comparison to this material world? The external energy is composed of the three modes of material nature. Rajaguna is the power within creation that creates. Tamaguna is that which destroys. And Sattvaguna is that which preserves. Therefore, there are three guna avatars also. Brahma is the creator. Therefore, he is in charge of Rajaguna, the mode of passion. Vishnu is the maintainer. Therefore, he is in charge of the mode of goodness, Sattvaguna. And Lord Shankar is the destroyer. Therefore, he is in charge of the mode of ignorance, Tamaguna. So, we can see how sex life is the basic principle of creation. It's like so many babies are born every day. And babies do not just grow from trees. That's what we may be taught when we're little children. I remember I once asked my mother, I said, because I had two brothers, and I thought I should have another brother. So I said to my mother, please tell me what I can do to get another brother. Because I didn't know. So I asked her, what is the process by which I can have a baby? She said, if you wish real hard and pray to God, then he will give you baby. So I wished real hard and prayed to God, but I never had baby. Nor did she. But still, I wished. So parents, they like to say so many stories of how children are born to young children, because you don't really want to tell them what you have to do. How do you have children, mother? They grow like fruits on trees. But actually, somehow or other, when you grow up and you start seeing the reality of material existence, you understand sex life is necessary to have children. If you want to create, you have sex. And therefore, sex is the manifestation of Rajaguna, passion. Because actually, you cannot have sex unless you're passionate, unless you have that agitated passion. That's why the four Kumaras, they decided, when they were 4 years old, they looked around, they saw their father having all kinds of children and all the Prajapatis having all kinds of children, and they said, no way do I want to be involved in this. And I know when I get to the age of about 12, 13 years old, then Rajaguna will overcome me. So we will stay 4 years old. They had that power. We will remain 4 years old so that the Rajaguna will not affect us. We will not have the physical capabilities of reacting to Rajaguna. So this was their intelligence, transcendental intelligence. So this passion is the basic principle of creation. And as far as destruction, ignorance, the form of anger is the mode of ignorance. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna shamudbhavaha. When passion is unfulfilled, it becomes angry. And when people are angry, they destroy things. Right? When people are angry, they kill each other. When people are angry, they declare war on each other. When people are angry, they drop bombs on each other. When people are angry, even just in normal household life, they start throwing pots at each other, breaking glasses. I don't know what else they do, but I have seen and heard. When you're angry, you just have this mood to destroy. That is the mode of ignorance. And the mode of goodness is to sustain, to preserve, to be nice. Now in this material world, none of the modes are pure. They are all mixed. Therefore, time affects material existence. Because passion is the source of creation and growth, and ignorance is the source of deterioration and destruction. Because there is passion and because there is ignorance, therefore there is the effect of time consuming the lives of everyone. But it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vaikuntha is Shuddhasattva. Shuddhasattva means goodness with no trace of passion or ignorance. Therefore, it is transcendental. And therefore, there is time in the spiritual world. But the time doesn't create... But within that time, because there is no rajaguna or tamaguna, everything is eternal. Everything is unaffected by the time. Time factor simply exists to enhance the nectarine ecstasies of loving relationships. There's no creation, there's no destruction. That is Shuddhasattva. This material world, the time factor is the enemy consuming everyone. No one can escape. You're being destroyed by time. You're being created by time. You're growing by time. Therefore, everything is being influenced by time under the three modes of material nature. But in the spiritual world, no rajaguna, no tamaguna, everything is eternal. Prabhupada says, time is conspicuous by its absence, which means the effects of destruction are absent. But if you read Krishna book, there's a time every morning that Mother Yashoda wakes up Krishna and sings all nice songs. Goloka Vrindavan, things are very punctual on time. Krishna has his schedule. And then Mother Yashoda gives him nice prasad, so many sweets and milk and yogurt and butter and everything from the cows and grains that the oxen have plowed from the grounds. And then she dresses Krishna and decorates him very beautiful. And just after the sunrise, all of Krishna's friends come and actually it says there is no need for sun and moon in the spiritual sky. Everything is self-luminous. So there's no need for sunrise. When Krishna appeared in this world, he utilized all the facilities to enhance his pastimes. But still, in the spiritual world, Krishna is known as Vrindavan Chandra, which means he's the moon of Vrindavan. There's no need of moons with spots. There is the spotless moon of Shyam Sundar, giving pleasure to everyone. And then the friends, the gopas, Sridhama, Subal, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Arjun, and all these wonderful cowherd boys, they meet him and they go into the pasture grounds with cows. And then at a certain time of the day, they bring the cows to Jamuna and they all sit down and take out their tiffins and start having nice prasad. And everyone is anxious to see What did Mother Yashoda prepare for Krishna today?
That was always a great, great anticipation in everyone's hearts, because they wanted to see how Krishna would enjoy. And Krishna's enjoyment is always to give them their remnants, so everyone enjoyed. So in this way, they would take prasad together and they would joke together, and then they would go back to taking care of their cows. And then when evening would start coming, they would bring all the cows back to Nandagaon. Krishna would, in Nandagaon area now, there is a tree called Terakadamba. Krishna would climb up on that tree, to the top of the tree, and he would call the names of all the cows. He had 900,000 cows. And yet he would just call a name and every cow would hear it's her own name. That is Krishna's power. If we call Gorgopal, then Gorgopal hears. But Gorsundar thinks, why he's not calling me? Why he's calling Gorgopal? But Krishna has the power. He can call and every cow hears its her name. And, oh, Krishna's calling me. Just like Krishna, when he was in Ras Lila with gopis, every gopi is thinking, Krishna's dancing only with me. I am the least amongst all. I am so insignificant, but Krishna is so merciful. He's giving me such kindness and love. He's only for me, and I am only for him. And out of so many gopis, each is thinking only like this. So similarly, Krishna can call the name and every cow is thinking, Krishna's calling only me. So how excited they are to reciprocate. So they all, with their tails raised, came running and running and running. And all 900,000 cows are running with beautiful smiles on their faces to Krishna. And he greets them all. And each cow is thinking, he's looking only at me. His beautiful transcendental glance upon each of them. And then he brings them back to Nandagaon. And Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj and Rohini Devi and Sri Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, the gopis, they and all the older gopis also, they're all waiting in the borderline of Nandagaon near the pastures to greet Krishna. And he comes running. You have seen the beautiful painting that our godbrother Muralidhar Prabhu has so wonderfully offered to Srila Prabhupada. It is now situated at Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji's house. If you haven't seen, you should go there sometime to see. Krishna is running to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and they're running to him to greet him. And all gopis have their arti paraphernalia and their laddus and garlands and all nice offerings and gifts to give pleasure to Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda, she sees that Krishna's body is covered by dust that is raised by the hooves of the cows throughout the day. So she gives him a nice bath, and then she dresses him in fresh new clothes and puts ornaments on him, and then she gives him nice, nice prasad that she has been working so hard throughout the day to prepare. Sometimes she calls Radharani from Bharasana to come to also cook prasad, because the news got out very quickly that Durvas Muni gave. She took so nice care of Durvas Muni when he was a guest in Vrishabhanu Maharaj's home, that he gave her that blessing that whatever you cook will taste sweeter than nectar, and anyone who eats your cooking will never fall sick. So everyone in Vrindavan was thinking, then let her cook for Krishna. because Krishna was more dear to the life of anyone. So then Krishna would have nice prasad, and then all the cowherd boys would tell the rest of the Brijabasis all the wonderful activities of that day. What demons Krishna killed. Today he killed Agasura. No, actually, they didn't tell him. They told him that 1 year later. Today he killed Vakasura. Today he killed Vatsasura. So many wonderful stories they would tell, and everyone would be rapt attention. And they would simply, then Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they would take Krishna and Balaram and put him in bed and give him nice, sing nice songs, and then they would all go to sleep. And then in the middle of the night, just at the proper time, Krishna would very quietly leave the house. Sometimes he would go to Bamsibat. Sometimes he would go to Govardhan. Sometimes he would go to various places. And he would play his flute and call gopis, and they would meet him, and they would dance throughout the night. But then before it became light, he would go home, and everyone was thinking he slept very soundly. In fact, there is the Astakalya Leela, which explains to the minute where Krishna is and what he does every day. What time of the day every day he goes to Radha Kund and Shama Kund to meet Srimati Radharani. What time in Vrindavan there are places. I remember I was living in one ashram, and according to Astakalya Leela, at 3 o'clock every afternoon Krishna passes by that ashram. According to the Shastra, he passes by with his cowherd boyfriends and cows. And then if you go to another place, at 8 in the morning he passes by this place. And other places at midnight he comes with gopis. So how can there be all these time schedules if time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world? There is time. But it is nothing like the time in this world. There is no creation, there is no destruction. Time is simply acting within the internal potency of the Lord, like everything in the spiritual world by Yoga Maya's potency, simply to increase the ecstasy of loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Everything exists only for that purpose. Everything in the spiritual world exists only to increase the ecstasy of the Lord and his devotees. And it is described by Srila Prabhupada in these purports how even the living entities have such eternal ecstatic relationships with each other that can never, ever, ever be separated. In this world, we become attached to family members. And when they leave home or they die, we feel sad. Why? Because in the spiritual world, everyone is our family members. And we have intimate, loving, eternal relationships with everyone. It is our nature not only to have such a relationship with Krishna, but with every other living entity who we are by our particular arrangement of the Lord, who we are in contact with in the spiritual world. Our family in the spiritual world is eternal. And our nature is to have that eternal relationship with our friends and family members. And that is why it is so frustrating in this world when, by the power of time, we're separated. By the influence of passion and ignorance, either we're separated by death, or we're separated by some extraordinary circumstance, or we're separated by animosity. Animosity is born of passion and ignorance. People do not become inimical with each other due to the influence of goodness. So in the spiritual world, there is no animosity. In fact, it says here that without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So you may ask, what are demons doing in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha? It says that demons are in the spiritual world. But it's very inconceivable. Because if you're a devotee, you're not a demon. And it says that demons worship the Lord as devotees. So what does that mean? The demons aren't demons. So why are they called demons? Because they're devotees. You have to go there to find out what it means. Whoever you were in this material world, you may have been a demon, but to go to the spiritual world, you're a devotee. Whatever your past may have been. Just like Radha Gopinath Temple. It's the spiritual world. Everyone's devotees. But what were we before we came to Radha Gopinath Temple? Sometimes, due to the modes of passion and ignorance, we may have been doing all things that are displeasing to Krishna, demoniac things. But now we're all dancing and singing together as devotees. That is Vaikuntha. So in this way, everyone has eternal loving relationships with each other. There can be no animosity. There can be no clashes of egos, because there is no false ego. It is the perfect model, ideal, that everyone is longing for in this world. People are creating whole civilizations to try to somehow achieve this. But in every way, it is a failure. Unless we upgrade our consciousness. Unless we understand very, very carefully what Lord Brahma saw at the beginning of creation. He saw Vaikuntha, where everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Where Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. That means no death, no birth, no animosity, no anxiety. Vaikuntha. And Brahma created the whole universe and everything in it to ultimately give every living entity the opportunity to go back to Vaikuntha. That is his mission. He's the original spiritual master of the Brahma Sampradaya. After creating this universe, he spoke to Narada, and he spoke to him. The goal of life is Krishna, pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. To live in this world for the glorification of Krishna, and then to leave this world and go back to the real world, Vaikuntha. That was the message he gave Narada. And he instructed Narada to take his Veena and travel all over the universe and spread this message to everyone. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. And we find within the scriptures, on the order of Brahma, Narada has enlightened so many personalities in so many ways, including Vyasadeva, who wrote us the Vedas. Today is celebration of Ramanujacharya. He is one such great personality who has received this transcendental knowledge from Lakshmi, the Sri Sampradaya. The same message. The Lord revealed this knowledge through Brahma, through the four Kumaras, through Lord Shiva, and through Lakshmi Dev. The eternal truth. And what is that truth? That is perfectly common in all sampradayas. That the goal of life is Vishnu, Vaikuntha. Not this world of illusion, this world of birth and death. Let us strive for that. and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to this world to synthesize all the four sampradayas and give the practical means by which everyone can go back home, back to Godhead, through the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there any questions? Yes.
In the discharge of devotional service, is there any room for certain characteristics of the mode of passion also to be there? Or they are not actually really in the mode of passion?
Bhakti means to dovetail all propensities in Krishna's service. And by doing so, we become purified. Krishna explains in Gita, sex life according to religious principles is none different than Him. It is a service to the Lord. So if we have that tendency, if we direct it according to Krishna's instructions, it actually becomes devotional service and it purifies us. Similarly, in this transcendental world, all of these tendencies are there in pure transcendental form. There is kama, there is krodha, there is all these things in Vaikuntha. But they are all without any ego, false ego. They are without any tinge of the modes of nature. They are simply there to increase the ecstasy of Krishna. Yes? Hanuman was angry, but it was not material anger, it was spiritual anger, completely pure. The gopis, they had passion, but it was completely pure, unalloyed spiritual passion. They thought nothing for their own senses, they simply were passionate to please Krishna. Therefore, it was not in any way infected by the modes of material nature. Now, how do we come to that stage? By acting under the direction of a proper spiritual master, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we could utilize our present conditioned state for purification rather than incrimination in karmic laws. Like Srila Prabhupada explained, if a person has a tendency to be angry due to the mode of ignorance, if he learns how to channel that anger in Krishna's service, his anger becomes purified. Prabhupada said, become angry with the demons. Don't become angry with other Vaishnavas. And to become angry with the demons doesn't mean to kill them or to destroy them. It means to defeat them. To defeat their illusion. That kind of anger is good. It will purify your heart. It's called dovetailing. If one is a businessman and has the natural tendency to make lots and lots of money, that's a material qualification. But if you're actually in the spiritual world, nobody's making money. Money's conspicuous by its absence. Because what do you need money for? Everything is chintamani. Whatever you wish, you get. You don't have to get a job. Here, if you want a car, you have to work so long, and then you have to get bank loans, and then you're a slave to the interest of the bank loans, and you have to work for years and years and years just to pay it off. You want an apartment somewhere, you have to get all bank loans and friends loans and family loans, and everyone's waiting for your money, and you're working one job, two jobs, three jobs to try to somehow pay it back. In the spiritual world, if you want a... Nobody wants cars in the spiritual world. They have flower airplanes. If you want a flower airplane, you don't have to go to the flower airplane dealer and sign contracts and get loans and make all sorts. They have all sorts of bargains and deals can make you think you're getting it very easy, but then a few years, few days down the line, you realize, why did I do that? Now I'm a slave. There, if you want a flower airplane, you just go under any desire tree and wish for a flower airplane, and it will appear before you immediately. You can go anywhere. Whatever you like. Every grain of dust is Chintamani, more precious and valuable than jewels. And anywhere you are in the spiritual world, as soon as you desire or wish something, you get it. So what do you need to get a job for? What do you need money for? There's no need. There's no rupees in Vaikuntha. No Federal Reserve banks. Chintamani, whatever you desire is fulfilled. But if you desire anything for your sense gratification, if you desire anything that's not in the service of the Lord and His devotees, then you fall under the control of the Federal Reserve Bank in this material world, and you have to work like an ass, foaming at the mouth. Huh? But we have the propensity to work, to do business, or to be a lawyer, to be a doctor, whatever it is. But in this world, if we use that in Krishna's service, we become purified by dovetailing that propensity. That is what Varnashram Dharma is. Varnashram Dharma means the particular propensities according to how we are influenced by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance is determining what our Varna and Ashram is. And if we learn the scientific method that Krishna has created society, then whatever modes of nature we may be influenced by, if we learn to dovetail them in Krishna's service by proper guidance, we gradually become purified of the modes of nature. If we have a propensity for sex, have children for Krishna and you become purified. If you have a propensity for anger, fight for Krishna, you'll become purified. If you have a propensity to make money, do it for Krishna and you'll become purified. Whatever your propensity is, we have to learn to act under Krishna's direction. Does that answer your question? Are you sure? Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
There are four sampradayas, and we are from Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. Now all the four sampradayas, they refer Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but our sampradaya is very clear. We are getting the knowledge from Brahmaji, Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, disciple succession, and they also refer the same Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So from there, how they can convince themselves that this is from their disciple succession?
Because it is. Hare Krishna. The same knowledge, the same information, but they have just different line of disciplic succession in which they are receiving it from. Ultimately, it's all coming from Krishna. Ultimately, it's coming from Krishna. But for instance, in the Kumar Sampradaya, the Kumaras, through them, this knowledge was distributed in this world. But it's the same knowledge, the same explanations. So there's no difference. Sri Sampradaya, they have their whole stories of disciplic succession, each Sampradaya. Who Lakshmi Devi spoke to, who that person spoke to, who that person spoke to, but the message is the same.
Sampradaya and Lakshmi Sampradaya and all of them, they don't refer the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we refer? Kumar Sampradaya and Lakshmi Sampradaya, They don't refer the Srimad Bhagavatam which we refer, or they have another Srimad Bhagavatam?
No, same. Absolutely the same. Because every one thing that is absolutely in common with all the four sampradayas is that Vedavyas was the literary incarnation of Godhead who wrote the Vedas that is the standard of all knowledge. They all accept the Vedic literatures written by Vedavyas as he wrote them. And they all understand which of the Vedic literatures are meant to awaken pure bhakti. And they emphasize those. Same Bhagavad Gita, same Srimad Bhagavata, same Vishnu Purana, same Mahabharata, same Ramayana. Any other questions? Yes.
Brahmaji designed the creation, and he's a Jivatma, so how did he design the 8.4 million species? Are these species in the eternal form in the spiritual world, or are they different species in the spiritual world? I mean, Brahmaji designed...
Brahma is a Jivatma, but he is Shaktyavesh. That means he is empowered by Krishna. Krishna can empower his Jivatma to do the same thing he does. That is his power. Whatever power Brahma has to create is the power that has been given to him by Krishna. So actually Krishna is creating through Brahma. That is the actual reality. And as far as the species of life in the spiritual world and the material world, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, actually, everything is unlimited. There is no numerical evaluation how many species of life there are in the spiritual world. In the material world, everything is limited. In the spiritual world, whatever Krishna wants you to be, that is what you are. So I have not ever seen where it lists how many species of life there are in the spiritual world. Usually we don't call anyone species anywhere in the spiritual world. Because everything is Satchidananda Vigraha. Your body is Satchidananda Vigraha. That's not a species, that's something else altogether. So there's no species of life as we know it in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.